Good morning, everybody. I would like to extend a welcome to our brothers in Christ from Adult and Teen Challenge. Welcome. I don't know if you've noticed, but 2020 has been a little trying. A little difficult. Definitely not normal. And there has been a lot of words given, a lot of prophetic words have been uttered. When I was growing up, and there was a prophecy of end times, or Jesus is coming back on such and such a date. I'm old school. I'm old. In 1988, most of you, well, a lot of you weren't even born yet. But in 1988, there was a prophet that came out and said 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 88. And we didn't have iPads and iPhones and the internet and YouTube. So the means by which they got the word out was they would put pamphlets or flyers on your windshield at the supermarket. So we often had to take that off before we could drive safely. But today, with all of the things that are going on, all you have to do is go on YouTube or social media, and there are all kinds of prophetic utterings, all kinds of people saying, God showed me this, God told me this. God, and if you look it up, there's some really crazy things in there. God spoke to me through my Cheerios or whatever. And there's a lot of things out there right now. And one of the things that I actually went in and watched, because I had some people say, have you seen this guy? Have you heard this guy? And his name is Dana Coverstone. He is a pastor in Kentucky. Any of you familiar with Dana Coverstone? Anybody seen his prophetic dreams or his YouTube posts? We had a special night here where I showed his video to whomever wanted to come, and I did it because I've been called to be a pastor. I've been called to be a shepherd, and it is one of the duties of a shepherd is to protect the flock. Another duty of the pastor or the shepherd is to help you discern what you hear and what you see. And in the scriptures, God has given us a checklist on how we are to handle those things. Because it says, Jesus said, in the end times, in the last days, there will be false prophets. There will be false prophets, excuse me, who do miracles. And it says that the elect, if at all possible, may be deceived by what they see and what they hear. So if you don't know how to discern, you are going to be easily deceived by what you see and what you hear. So I showed that video, and I'm going to go over a little bit of the contents of it. Like I said, this was recorded in June of this year, and Pastor Coverstone claims to have had a dream in December of 2019. He shared that dream with a few of the men in his men's group, and he says that those things that happened or in his dream came true. And basically the premise of the dream was, he was dreaming, he saw a individual, all white, and then he saw a hand, and he saw a calendar. And it flipped January, February, March, April. And then the finger underlined March and April. And he said in his dream he saw people wearing masks. He saw hospitals full of sick people, a lot of people dying, a lot of unrest. And he came out and he relayed what he had seen in December, and he came out in June because those things had happened and come true. He says, I need to get this out. And in his dreams, before he starts, he says, I am not a prophet, but I have dreams that are prophetic. I don't know how you separate the two, but that's what he claims. I am not a prophet, but I have prophetic dreams, and I'm sharing those with you. He said in his dreams, they were a warning for America, not the world, and they were a warning for the lost and for God's people. He often said, brace yourself. In the dreams, he heard God say, brace yourself, brace yourself, brace yourself. Get ready. These things are going to happen. He prophesied that Chinese and Russian soldiers would be on American soil and that they would be hauling away believers, and the UN was going to have to come in and take over because of such unrest. He warned of hyperinflation, that believers need to prepare, they need to stock up on food, they need to find alternative means of currency, ample supply of guns and ammo because of defunding of the police, and he encouraged people to pray like you have never prayed before. He also encouraged people to pray for discernment. He said that an olive press moment was coming to the church. In his dreams, he saw prosperity preachers squashed and revealed for what they really are, simply after a dollar. He encouraged people to endure to the end, no matter how hard it gets. He encouraged us to take up our cross, to deny yourself, and to follow him. And September through November was the main time frame in which these things were going to happen. He welcomed criticism and was willing to admit if he was wrong if December 1st came and these things have not come to pass. So I went on, and I've watched his video many times. I wrote down the things that he said. And when I brought this to the church to begin with, it was a means by which I could teach you how to discern voices out there. I watched this video, and he seems very sincere. He seems very likable. He does not endorse any product. He did not ask for money, so that was not his motivation. He now has his own YouTube channel and over 50,000 subscribers. Many of the things that he saw in his dreams can be categorized as apocalyptic or according to the end times. And I had a lot of people come to me and ask me about this video. What do you think about the video? What do you think about what he said? Is this really going to happen? What's going on? And the most common response that I saw in people was fear. It was fear. Here at New Hope Christian Center, we back things up that we do with Scripture. We go to the Scriptures. I believe that the Scriptures have been written for our benefit, and that we have access to God's Word to encourage us, to guide us, to correct us, to rebuke us. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says in the New King James Version, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you are afraid and you are living in fear, that is not from God. That is not from God. And he says, I have given you a sound mind. You are to think about whatever it is that comes in. Not be afraid, and use your mind that God has given you. Romans 15, verse 4, it says, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. You see, when we read the scriptures, they encourage us to endure no matter what is going on in our lives, and it gives us hope. We live in a culture, there's not a whole lot of hope. But through Christ and his word, we have that hope. You see, when things go bad, when things don't go the way we think they should, when things seem to get very dark in our country, we should be different. We should look different. People should look at us and go, how can you have joy? And what an awesome opportunity to share your faith. Amen? So what were the prophets or the prophecies used for in the Old Testament? If we want to know about prophets today, we need to go into the Old Testament. We need to go into the scriptures and see what the scriptures say. One thing that God used them for was to prove that he was the one and only true God. In Isaiah 46, 9 through 10, it says, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. God has revealed from the beginning certain things that are going to happen in the end. He often used prophets in the Old Testament and said, these things are going to happen and I'm telling you to tell the people so that when they do happen, they know that I am the one true God. Because the people around you are serving gods that can't talk, they can't speak, they can't think, they can't help you, they can't even stand on their own two legs. Yet people worship them. He said these things in the beginnings and revealed them so that when they came true, we knew that it was God. Isaiah 48, verse 3. I foretold the former things long ago. My mouth announced them, and I made them known. Then suddenly I acted, and they came to pass. In Isaiah 48, 11, it says, for my own sake, I do this. Another thing that God used them for, prophets and prophecies, was to deliver warnings to his people. In Nehemiah 9, verses 27 through 31, and I think this is a lot where we are right now. If you go through the scriptures, they're very cyclical. You see the Israelites, they're being blessed by God. He says, you're going to be my people, I am going to be your God, and I'm going to dwell with you. Things would go, and he says, make sure you follow my statutes, my commands, and my decrees, so that it will go well with you and your children and your children's children. So they would do that. They would follow God for a while. They'd start to get fat and happy. They would start to wander away from God. Things are good. I don't really need God. And then God would send a prophet and say, turn back to me. Repent of your sins. And they would say, well, we don't believe this prophet. They would continue in their sin, and then God would lift his hand from them, and they would go into bondage. They would usually go into slavery. They would be overtaken by other nations. They would cry out to God. God would hear them. He would deliver them. And then he would say, do what I say. Live by my ways. And they say, yes, whatever you say, we will do it. And they do it for a while, and then they start getting fat and happy again. And it was a cycle, how they went through their lives. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 27 through 31, it actually explains this. So you delivered them into the hands of their enemies who oppressed them. But when they were oppressed, they cried out to you. From heaven you heard them, and in your great compassion you gave them deliverers who rescued them from the hand of their enemies. But as soon as they were at rest, they again did what was evil in your sight. Then you abandoned them to the hand of their enemies so that they ruled over them. And when they cried out again to you, you heard from heaven, and in your compassion you delivered them time after time. You warned them in order to turn them back to your law, but they became arrogant and disobeyed your commands. They sinned against your ordinances, of which you said, the person who obeys them will live by them. Stubbornly, they turned their backs on you, became stiff-necked, and refused to listen. For many years, you were patient with them. By your spirit, you warned them through your prophets. Yet they paid no attention. So you gave them into the hands of their neighboring peoples. But in your great mercy, you did not put an end to them or abandon them, for you are a gracious and merciful God. Here's that cycle. I believe America is in the midst of that cycle right now. Our country was founded upon godly principles. You're not taught that in the public school system, but it's true. It was founded by godly men and women who designed our Constitution based upon godly principles. And God was supposed to be a major part of the governing of this country. But we have seen an incredible decline. God is not allowed in the schools anymore. They've taken the Ten Commandments out of just about every public place imaginable. And you see the destruction of the family unit. You see the downfall of politicians who no longer seek God's counsel, but their own power, their own authority. And you see the downfall of America from where we are right now. It's amazing. But we are in that cycle right now. We are in that cycle right now. God used prophets and prophecies almost exclusively as a call to repentance. Jeremiah 15:19 says, therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will restore that you may serve me. If you utter worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. Let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. In Ezekiel 18:30, therefore, you Israelites, I will judge each of you according to your own ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. You see, we live in a culture now where judges decide what is sin and what is not. Politicians decide what is sin and what is not. And I don't know about you, but my Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, we don't get to decide what we think is sin and what is not sin. God does. And because our Supreme Court deems something to be okay or right, does not make it right in God's eyes. We are going to stand accountable before God for our own choices. God used prophets in the Old Testament to bring people to repentance, to bring their hearts back to Him. That's where He wants us. In relationship, in right relationship with Him. Now, I'm going to insert this right here. It says, when He used dreams in the Old Testament, usually those dreams were predicting something was going to come in the future. You go through Joseph. You go through Daniel. Most of those dreams that he gave them were predicting something that was going to happen. Okay? So what are the rules for discerning or testing prophets in the Old Testament? Because there were a lot of false prophets in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 through 22, it says, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I have commanded him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything that I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message that the Lord has not spoken, and that prophet has spoken presumptuously, so do not be alarmed. You see, if we have a person nowadays that claims to be a prophet or have a prophetic message from God, how do we know if it's from God? If it comes true, it's from God. If it doesn't come true, it's not from God. And it says, don't be alarmed. In Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 through 4, if a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a sign or a wonder, and if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place, the prophet says, and the prophet says, let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all of your soul. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him, serve him, and hold fast to him. So God has put two different scenarios here in the Old Testament, has he not, about prophets? One is, someone that prophesies on my name and it doesn't come true, don't have anything to do with them. He says, however, there will be false prophets that prophesy and it comes true, but if they're luring you away from me, have nothing to do with them. If they're having you to follow the prophet as opposed to following God, have nothing to do with him. In fact, you're supposed to put them to death. Put them to death. There are a lot of people out there who call themselves prophets. I, for one, would not want that call on my life. You see, the prophets of today, for the most part, are wrong most of the time, yet they can still considered prophets. According to my Bible, if you're wrong once, done. A prophet of God is right 100% of the time. 100%. And if they're wrong once, have nothing to do with them. Have nothing to do with them. So does God still use prophecies, prophets, or dreams today? That was all Old Testament. Now we're going to look at the New Testament and see what it has to say. In Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, God gives a word to Joel, who was a prophet, and he says, this is going to happen. Afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. According to the little scripture right there, yes. He is going to use prophets. He is going to use dreams. And the pouring out of his spirit came when Jesus left and he gave us the Holy Spirit. So according to this, it says yes. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. He gave them to us, to the new church, the early church, and passed them on to us. Yes, there are prophets today that God is using. Unfortunately, there are a lot of prophets out there that God is not using and God is not speaking through. Yet they still have a large following. And I don't understand it. Jesus tells us what it's going to be like in the last days. In Matthew 24, 6 through 13, he says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. This is Jesus. This is Jesus talking. These things are going to happen. We don't know when, but they are going to happen. And when we see the wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and weird places and all this stuff, it's the beginning of birth pains, labor pains. And we are to be aware of those things. In Matthew 24, 24, it says, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. You see, when these things start getting really bad, you see, we think it's really bad right now. We ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing yet. And what's going to happen when those false prophets start rising up and doing miracles and signs and wonders? How many people are going to follow them and not God? Because they don't know what the scriptures say. You see, we need to know what the scripture says about these things so that we are prepared to handle them when they arise. Because after the fact, it's too late. You may be already deceived and wandering away from the faith. These things are going to happen. And they're recorded so that we can get encouragement and instruction on how to handle them when they raise their ugly head. Because if you don't know, it says you will be deceived. You will be deceived. So if God still uses prophets and prophecies today, how should we treat them? How are we to handle these things as we take them in, as we listen to them, as we see them? 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 22 says, do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil. You see, I know some people out there, it's like all prophets are hooey. All they want is money. They're all in it for the game. So they don't listen to any prophetic utterances. And the Bible says, no. Instead, we are supposed to test the prophecies. We are supposed to discern what is right and what is wrong, and what is from God and what is not from God. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 says, now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Here comes a visiting speaker into this area. We're in Acts, in Berea. So we got this visiting speaker coming in, and he's teaching some stuff that is new. They never heard some of this stuff. But what they did was they got out the scriptures that they had, and they made sure that everything that he said aligned with what the scriptures said. And if it didn't, boot. Get out of here, because you're not from God. You see, we have speakers going all over the place in churches today teaching bad doctrine, teaching bad things, ungodly things, but are as popular as ever. We have people calling themselves prophets who prophesy. Doesn't come true, doesn't matter. Oh, he got one out of four, right? Oh, okay, well, that's pretty good. 25%. In baseball, you're batting 250. That's not terrible. Except God says he needs to bat 1,000. If he's my prophet, he will bat 1,000. And if he's not batting 1,000, don't have anything, don't even give him credence to what he's saying. Nothing. Philemon chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. We are to be able to discern no matter what comes down the pike. And we don't agree with it. We don't glom onto it just because it sounds good, or the speaker's awesome, or I just feel a connection, or I can feel it in my spirit that this is right. Well, what does the scripture say about it first? Because your emotions are going to trick you. If you are led by your emotions, you're in a heap of trouble, because they'll lie to you. I hate that saying, follow your heart. It's in so many songs. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. Oh, I'm going to follow my heart. Your heart's going to lie to you half the time. And if your heart says something against what the scriptures say, your heart ain't in the right spot. And you're going to find yourself in a place that God never wanted you to be. No, we are to discern with our minds, not driven by fear, but a sound mind and power, so that we can discern what is going on around us and not be deceived. See, you're not being deceived by a person. You're being deceived by the enemy of your soul, who is using that person to draw you away from Christ. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against the prophets. We're fighting against the enemy of our soul. And he's just using them as puppets. They can be very sincere and believe 100% that they're doing what God wants them to do. But if they're false prophets, God ain't using them. Now, listen very closely. God can use whoever he wants to speak to you. He's used donkeys. He's used me. He has used many different people in the scriptures, and he'll use them all if he wants to. You see, I serve a God that can turn the heads of kings. See, Balaam was a prophet. He genuinely had a gift in the Old Testament. He was a prophet. He was a prophet for hire. He was a prophet for hire. So all these kings would call on him and say, well, I want you to prophesy. Well, how much money do you have? He had a gift. That gift was from God, but he used it in the wrong way. But God can use false prophets. So here we have a checklist. God always had a remnant. No matter what was going on, no matter how bad things got, God always had a remnant of people that still followed him. That number was often very small. You see, when things get really, really, really bad here in America, which according to the scriptures, it will, I want to be a part of the remnant. And it ain't going to be easy. It is not going to be easy, because when the testing really comes, we really find out where people's faith is. We will really find out those who are followers of Jesus Christ and those who are phonies. But God always had a remnant. Do not put your faith in anything other than God. You see, you can stock up all the toilet paper you want. But if you're putting your faith in toilet paper and not God, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. God did not give us a spirit of fear. Do not be driven by your emotions. Do not be driven by your emotions. Pray. Pray for discernment. Pray for our nation. Pray for those politicians that God knows they need more prayer than anybody. Pray for our leaders. Pray for one another. Pray for your families. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Because there's power in prayer. There is power in prayer. And you know what? Fasting. When's the last time any of you fasted? You see, when Jesus, some of the disciples, came up against a demon, they couldn't get rid of him. They couldn't get rid of him. It was too powerful. And they couldn't figure that out because Jesus had sent them out and said, cast out demons in my name. They went around, they're casting out demons everywhere. But they got to one, and it's like, this one ain't going anywhere. And you can just see that demon. I always put myself in the scriptures. You can see that demon just going, come on, bring it on. Bring it on. Who are you? Jesus, I know. I don't know you two. And they went back to Jesus and said, we couldn't drive this one demon out. They didn't say, hey, we drove all these demons out. We had 72 demons. We got rid of them all. No, they focused on the one they couldn't get out. And Jesus said, these kinds only come out with prayer and fasting. You see, there is an added power in the spirit realm when we deny ourselves of everything that our body wants. You see, when we are not driven by our fleshly desires and we put them aside, and during that time we seek God, things happen. Things happen not only in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm. So if you're getting into a place where you can't, usually you can handle these things, but now you're finding out, it's like, whoa, what's going on? It's time to fast. It's time to fast. Do not reject a prophecy because you don't like the message or part of the message. See, some people say, okay, well, I don't like this part, so I'm just going to throw it away. It's kind of like the scriptural buffet. Well, I like this verse, but I don't like that one, so I'm just going to rip that out. No. Everything in its entirety. Does the message call for repentance and turning back to God? Because God almost always used prophets to turn people back to them. Almost always. Does it edify God? And test it with the scriptures. So I'm going to go over a couple things that he prophesied about. In October, I went back through some of his prophecies in October. Some of them came true. Some of them, however, were just, you could see what's going on and prophesy about, oh, this is going to happen. I don't know about you, but I went into Walmart a few months ago, and it says, sorry, no change. We don't have change. There's a shortage of change. So in his dreams, he prophesied that there would be a shortage of money, and that the downfall of the dollar and this and that, and gold's going to go up. Well, he was right about the shortage of change. However, the dollar actually got stronger and gold went the other way. Some of the things that he saw in his dreams came true, but they could easily have been predicted by existing circumstances. He predicted the demise of prosperity preachers and the downfall of the dollar, and he was absolutely wrong. His November prophecy. The month in the calendar was bent, it was torn and dirty, and a hand circled the third. Well, that's election day. Okay. But he said instead of a finger circling, a fist hit the calendar of November. Smashed it. He said he saw cities on fire. Headlines that read, Trump victory challenged everywhere. Major violent protests, burned out buildings in Washington, D.C. None of these things happened in November. He goes on to predict future events. He sees a bright flash of light, then darkness. Many huddled in shelters. The UN needs to step in during this shock and awe to help America. He says, remain braced, for this calm comes before a gathering storm that recovery will have a hard time finding. He was wrong. But there are still people that follow him and defend him. One of their defenses is maybe our prayers have been able to turn the tide. He never implied in any of his messages that that was a possibility. He always said, brace yourself. It is coming no matter what. He always stated that these things would happen, and there was no mention of if we pray, we may be able to turn the tide of these things. Now that is biblical. There are certain times when God was going to bring down wrath on people, and Moses intervened, and some of the prophets intervened, and God said, okay, I'm not going to do that. But that was never an option in any of his dreams. Another defense of theirs is he was not talking about 2020. Well, he did not give any time reference, but he did reference in his first video that he had received the dream in December of 2019, excuse me, about schools closed, hospitals full, wearing masks, and by March, April, and May, these things had come true. The first video was released in June, where he tells us that he revealed these things to a men's group and that they all came true. He then begins to tell us about the other dreams that he has had and states that because the first dreams came true, I believe that these dreams will come true as well. So he says the other ones came true. I believe that all of these are going to come true. I have had times where I believe that God has spoken to me and I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was him. There were other times when I sincerely believed that God had spoken to me and I was sincerely wrong. I do not doubt the sincerity of Dana Coverstone, but he was sincerely wrong in most of his predictions. He released a video on December 1st, standing behind his belief that the dreams were from God, even though they hadn't come true in the time frame that he had said they would. He still stands behind the fact that he believes these dreams are from God. I am not picking on Dana Coverstone. There are many false prophets out there. It is my job as a shepherd to teach and to teach you how to discern what you hear, what you see. Because we are getting, I believe, into a time where it is going to become very critical that we do so. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 22, it says, do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all and hold on to what is good. I don't know Dana Coverstone. I don't know whether or not he's a good pastor. The Bible says, do not touch God's anointed. It's very clear. And so I am not attacking Dana Coverstone as a pastor, but he's not a prophet. However, that verse says, hold on to what is good. So what was good in his message? He has awakened many in the church and gotten them to pray. He has set out many different videos asking people to pray with him. That's holding on to what is good. He encourages believers from the scriptures to take up their cross and to endure to the end. That is good. He has brought to the surface many things that are going to happen according to the scriptures. Jesus taught many parables about his second coming and be ready, be prepared, which means spiritually as well as physically. But he is not a prophet. I know that he says he is not a prophet, but when you claim and declare that God gave you these dreams and you put a date on them and they do not come true, you are basically saying, I'm not the one who was wrong. God was wrong. And that is a very scary place to be. That flies in the face. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. That flies in the face of what the Bible tells us about prophets. And I'm going to repeat Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. How can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. It's as simple as that. It's a very short checklist on how to discern whether or not someone is actually a prophet from God speaking for God. They must be right 100% of the time. And if they are wrong once, have nothing to do with them. Stop following them because they're not speaking from God. We are living in a time, like I said, there's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of people talking. There's a lot of different denominational things that are going on. Make sure it backs up with the scripture. Make sure you know your scriptures. You see, when they list in Ephesians the armor of God, they list shoes, helmet, breastplate, all these different things. And there's only one item listed that is an offensive weapon, and it's the sword. You see, all the other ones are made to help in the battle, to help defend. But the sword of the Spirit is that which we use offensively against the enemy. Do you realize when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan, he used the sword of the Spirit to defeat him? He knew what the word said. And you know what? So does the enemy. The enemy knows the word as well, because he started quoting some other scriptures. And Jesus went right back and says, you know what? You're right. It does say that. But it also says, don't put the Lord your God to the test. You see, if we don't know how to handle this, Princess Bride fans?
Yes.
Oh, please, tell me you guys have seen the... Terrence, you need to show that. But there's a scene of a sword fight. And they're fighting. And they're talking about, oh, I see you studied da-da-da-da-da. And they're doing this, and they're doing this, and da-da-da-da. And he goes, you're very good. But there's one thing you know, you don't know. I am not left-handed. And so he starts fighting, and the other guy's starting to lose. And he goes, well, there's one thing that you need to know that you do not know. What is that? I am not left-handed either. So they were both kind of just playing around at first, but then it got real. You see, when we fight against the enemy of our soul and we don't know how to yield the sword, you're gonna get your butt whooped. You're gonna get your butt whooped. So we need to know how to yield the word of God. Jesus showed us how to do it. We need to know how to handle this thing. You see, if you go into a sword fight with someone who is a master, and you know John 3:16, well, that's good. But when he parlays and comes with something else, you better have something else in your repertoire, or you're going to get whooped. That's why we teach the Word of God here at New Hope Christian Center, is because you're going to need it. You're going to need it to defeat the enemy of your soul. So let me ask you, how good are you at yielding the sword? Do you even have a sword? See, we're going into times where things are going to get more and more difficult for followers of Jesus Christ. And according to the scriptures, they're there for our encouragement and to teach us endurance on how to handle these things. You see, because what we're going through and what we're going to go through is nothing new. It's nothing new. It may be new to us, but it's been around. The enemy, he uses the same ploys that he has from day one. But if we don't know how to fight in the spirit realm, we're going to get our butts kicked in the physical realm. Amen? Please stand. Can you put those, the first verses up there, Aaron, from that song? Now that you've shut everything down. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Go to the next one. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. I don't know if you realize, but those words were given by God to Aaron, the high priest, to speak over the Israelites. It's called the Aaronic blessing. And God says, I want to bless you. Speak this over my people. And when you became a believer in Jesus Christ, you were grafted into that Jewish vine. And that blessing is not just for them, it's for us too. See, God speaks his blessings, oh Lord, over. I'll have to pay for that one, aren't I? God speaks his blessing over us. We have access to those blessings as well. There are certain promises that were for Israel itself, but there are also promises given to Abraham for all of the generations that were going to follow. And they're not just Jews. They're for the Gentiles like me as well. What an awesome, incredible picture. And it says, and the blessings are for you and for your children and their children and their children. See, it doesn't matter what our past is. You see, when we become believers in Jesus Christ and accept the blood that was shed on the cross, we get a new start. You are a new creation. And no matter what those generational curses, because I truly believe in generational curses and I believe in generational blessings. And many of us have had generational curses, things that have been in our family for ages. And we kind of pass it off like, well, my dad was like that and his dad was like that. Well, it's time to stop the chain. Because when we are new, made new in him, we have the ability to carry on those curses, or we have the ability to carry on the blessings. And what I'm saying is, be that chain breaker. Don't let those things that have followed you all your life define you. Don't let them hold you. You see, Jesus came to give us freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We don't have to carry that garbage behind us anymore. No matter who heaped it on us, no matter who added to it, it's not you anymore. It's not you. We are defined by who we are in Christ. That's it. So don't carry the garbage around anymore. Jesus is very good at collecting garbage. Preach it, Josiah. And we have that freedom declared to us, recorded in the scriptures. And when we pray God's word back to him, there's power in that. When we pray God's word, when we get into difficult times and we're facing the enemy, there's power in that. We just need to know how to use it, how to yield it. God has not given us a spirit of fear, no matter what's going on around us. And when we walk around with joy and smile on just our eyes, because nobody can see our mouths anymore, it blesses my day when I go into the hospitals and people smile, even in the midst of all this, because it seems like most people, when they put a mask on, they get angry. And I had our UPS guy come in, and he goes, "How can you smile? How can you smile with all the garbage that's going on in the world?" I says, "Well, my faith ain't in the world. My faith is not in politicians. It is not in Fauci. It is not in a mask. It is not in a ventilator. My faith is in Jesus Christ." And that shouldn't change no matter what's going on. No matter what the circumstances. Sometimes it says in the Bible, when you've done everything else, stand firm. When you can't lift your hands anymore, stand firm. Don't get pushed off of where your faith is. Because that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. He wants to push you off of your stance. Sometimes that's all we can do. Just stand firm. And that's when we need brothers and sisters to gather around us, to encourage us, to lift us up so that we can get through this thing together. Amen? Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word because it brings light. It brings life. It is a giver of life. It teaches us. It corrects us. It rebukes us. It encourages us. It instructs us on how we are to live our lives according to your purposes and according to your plans. Lord, help us to walk in that. You have given us your spirit. We don't need anything else. You have given us everything that we need to effectively do what you have called us to do. We just need to use it. We just need to rely upon you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, and ask that you would just release us now with your blessings. Let your face shine upon us, and that we may go in peace. And everybody said, amen. You're dismissed.